Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel, please. The book of Ezekiel. And chapter 2 we'll start in. And this is just something the Lord really burdened me about here as I was coming down here. Actually, before that, for the last couple days, last week really, I was reading through Ezekiel, and these verses kind of just kind of came out at me here, and it really shows us the plight of where we're at today in America. And I call this message Prophetic Pictures from the Prophet Ezekiel to Apostate America. And because I don't think apostate America is much different than apostate Israel was. I understand there's a difference we're not a theocracy here in America, but if you study the principles that were there, the principles never change as far as sin goes. As far as sin and apostasy goes, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, those things stay the same. As far as the people go. Now, we understand that America, they're not the people of God. Amen. In this time period, we have the children of God are those that come by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're not Israel. We're not trying to be Israel. We're not confused about that. We understand who they are. Amen. And who Israel was and as a nation and everything else like that. But I think the principles as far as sin and judgment of God and everything else, those things can be applied anytime. That's one thing that's wrong today with some preaching. They kind of ignore the Old Testament a lot of ways, and they're afraid to use any of those scriptural examples that are there from the Old Testament, but they are real, and they are there for our admonition. That's what the Apostle Paul said. They were written for our admonition. Amen. So we need to use those things and see those pictures there, and we're seeing the same thing. We can liken to the churches today in America. We can see what was going on in Israel, the apostasy that was taking place there, but God raised up prophets, and He raised them up everywhere, and He raised them up to preach. And you say, well, are there New Testament prophets? Yeah, I believe they are. They're preachers. Amen. And God is also raising up some New Testament prophets, I think, today that are going out, and they're preaching differently than the dead pulpits are preaching.
Yeah.
Across the country, our pulpits are dead.
Yeah.
They're absolutely dead in most places. And when one thing that shows me how dead they are is when I hear from people all over the country and all over the world really that say, hey, we're not hearing preaching like this that you preach and everything else like that, and I'm thinking, well, it's just Bible. It's not really anything special. It's just the Word of God. It's preaching the Bible. It's warning people about what God warns them about and what God wants us to do and everything else like that. But we've so far strayed away today in America, in American churches today, we've so far strayed away from the truth that when people hear truth, they're so shocked by it and they're so taken back by it, and they don't know what to say. They just don't know what to do because they're hearing this truth, and it's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And you go out on the streets and you preach, and it's this God loves everybody gospel that's out there. It's this God's not angry with anybody. Or you got Joel Osteen and I don't know who else it was, or some other, I forget which false prophet it was. It could have been, I think it was Joyce Meyer. She said, God's not angry with you. She wrote a book that God's not mad at you or something like that. You know, which is the total opposite of the biblical message that, no, God is angry with you. God is angry with sin. God is angry with the person. And God will judge that person. Those principles have never changed. They're the same. The principles in every time period, they always stay the same. You know, Christ is holy and man is not. God is holy and man is not. God is holy and man is a sinner. And man needs redemption. And what's that redemption found in? Christ Jesus alone. Amen. That's where it's found. So that's the same all through. That there was a pointing to a picture in the Old Testament all the way through that one day the Redeemer would come. Amen. So we understand those things. I think those things are pretty clear. And we're not confused about a theocracy or anything like that, covenant theology. We understand those things. But we know that those things aren't real. That that God works, and He shows you the way it works in each time and each place. And this is the New Testament era, amen, and the era of His church. It's the time for His church, amen. So we understand that. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 1, we're going to start there. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we need You. I pray this to be a blessing. I pray to be an encouragement, Lord. I pray it be an eye-opener and awakener to some people, Lord, that their hearts would be open to receive the truth, that it might change them, Lord. It might be used of God to burn in their hearts a desire to serve You, to see churches started everywhere, to see the power of God, and to live for Jesus Christ in these wicked end times we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. I like this. He said unto me, and that Ezekiel's speaking here, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 1. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. So it set him upon his feet, amen. The Spirit of God came inside of this man and set him upon his feet and said, hey, it's time to preach. It's time to work. It's time to do something. And the Spirit entered into me, said, and he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. Now, we can stop right there and talk about this. I don't know how long this is going to be, because I got a lot of verses, a lot of chapters in Ezekiel. Yeah, so I got to keep moving here. But I will say this here. He said, I sent you, what did he say? I sent you to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. And I believe the same principle can be applied. God is raising up men all over the place, and he is sending them out to rebellious people, to rebellious church members out there, to rebellious pastors out there. These messages and this type of preaching is going out everywhere. It's waking people up to the fact that, hey, listen, it's high time that we awake out of sleep.
Amen.
You know, it's high time that we wake up to what's going on here. We are in America, we are in an absolute spiritual slumber. We are rebellious to God in this country. Those that are in churches, these church corporations, these 501c3 corporations, these state-run corporations, these creatures of the state, all of these things right now, they are asleep at the wheel. They are asleep right now, and God is saying, you know what? I'm going to send you to a rebellious people. You're going to go out, and your message is going to go out to rebellious people. And it's going to be hated by a lot of people. They're not going to like you. Why? Because they are a rebellious house.
Amen.
And nothing's changed, has it? Same rebellion today. You show people the truth, yeah, but I know, but my feelings. But we've always done it this way. But it's always been this way. Right? That's what they say to you. Our church is doing just fine. I mean, the state hasn't controlled us. They haven't done anything to us. They haven't forced us to do anything. Not yet, but yes, they have.
They have.
In their mentality, they force you into buildings, and that's where you say, no, there's nothing wrong with having a building. There's nothing wrong with meeting in a public place. There's nothing wrong with where you... God doesn't care where you meet, okay? God doesn't care where you meet as far as that goes, unless you're meeting in an inherently sinful, you know, environment. I mean, you don't want you meet in a strip club or something, but... Right, yeah, exactly. God doesn't care where you meet, as long as you meet together and you're doing it to honor Christ.
Amen.
That doesn't matter to God where you meet at. I know there's people that are against. I don't think you ought to have a steeple. I don't think you ought to have any of that garbage. That's all Babylonian garbage. But God doesn't care if you meet in a building somewhere, in a place somewhere. God doesn't care about that. Listen, this house isn't any more sanctified than some building would be, or some meeting house would be down the road, or a Perkins restaurant in the back of a restaurant somewhere. The brick and mortar is not sanctified.
Amen.
Amen. It can be used for that, but I mean, it's not sanctified. It's not holy.
Amen.
Right, it is to them.
Yeah.
I know people that won't do right with their 501c3 situation, won't come out of that. Why? Well, because they'll lose their building.
Yeah, that's right.
And that building now becomes an idol to them.
Yep, that's right.
And it becomes holy to them.
I know a guy, they're building a bigger building over $1 million. Mm-hmm. He's given them and they've inherited.
Oh,
so
great.
They can get more people in.
Mm-hmm. Just wrong. And he said unto me, Son of man, I like this. I send thee unto the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that rebelled against me. And they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. You know, what you are suffering today, you want to know why you're sitting in Texas right now? In Texas, of all places. Alright? You are sitting in Texas right now, in this small town area, outside of Longview, Texas, and you are sitting, and there is no biblical church around here. None that are standing for what's right. None that are not joined, linked with the state through 501c3, through incorporation. The standards are gone. The message isn't holy preached. The repentance isn't preached. You got one of the biggest idolatrous temples around here.
Yeah, that's right.
And it ain't a Buddhist one.
Yeah, that's right.
It ain't a Buddhist one.
Amen.
It's one that preaches a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me.
Yeah.
Bring them all in, bust them all in, bring them all in. Right?
Yep. Amen.
Mm-hmm. You want to know why? Because you have a rebellious house, that's why.
Right.
We have rebellious people, that's why.
Amen.
I send thee to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me and their fathers. That's the reason why you can't find a church. That's why you have to try to start one. That's why you have to try to have it. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know what? It shouldn't be that people have to move from all over the country to come to Old Paths Baptist Church.
Amen. Right. Amen.
It shouldn't be that way. Now, if God calls somebody there, that's wonderful. But you know what? It shouldn't have to be that way.
Amen.
We ought to have churches everywhere like that.
Amen.
And better than us. I mean, we're not the standard or anything, but God's the standard. The Bible's the standard.
Amen.
But you know, this is going to start sounding more and more like American Christianity here as I keep going. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 4. But you know what? You know why we have that problem, though? Back to that is because of our fathers. Our spiritual forefathers didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why they listen, after the Constitution was ratified in America, after things went through, the Baptists went in and fell asleep and forgot about liberty.
Absolutely.
That's what they did. I put this at the feet of the Baptists, I'll be honest with you, I really do. Because they were the ones that knew the truth. They were the ones that made sure that incorporation wasn't a part of that. Yeah. They were the ones that made sure they knew what the truth was, but they stopped fighting and they fell asleep. And you want to tell? Let me tell you what it reminds you of: Israel. When they went into the land, what happened to them? They went into the land and they settled the land. And Joshua's generation died. There arose a generation that knew not the Lord.
Right.
They didn't know the battles anymore. What mean these by these stones? They didn't know what those stones of remembrance were anymore. And you know what? That's what happened. We stopped teaching.
Yep, amen.
Right. No, that Bacchus was still there, yeah. But they rejected
him. Right, Bacchus was rejected, absolutely.
Yeah. By most of them.
He was rejected by most Baptists. They wanted one of the guys wanted their salary. I don't remember who it was. I can't remember right now. It's a missionary. Good man. It wasn't Hezekiah Smith that was after him. It was one of the men after. He wanted a salary or whatever, so he wanted to be able to sue or whatever, and because the church didn't give him his money, didn't take care of him, you know. And by the way, these guys weren't rich, so I don't want to impugn that man's character. They didn't have any money. They barely survived. They were eating bread, preaching the gospel everywhere they went. They're barely eating, you know. So, but, you know, there arose that disagreement there between them, and Bacchus was like, no, stay away from this. This is wrong. This is the chain of the beast. You know, but they didn't listen. And what happened? That's what happened with our forefathers.
Yep.
That's why we have this situation today that we do,
yep.
That we have here.
Yep.
All right. He says in verse number 4, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 4, for they are an impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Look at this. They are an impudent children and stiff-hearted. Hearted. They're stiff-necked and hard-hearted people. You know, one needs only to go on the streets and figure out that people say, well, Jesus preached a certain way to the Pharisees. Well, I hate to break it to you, friend, but I've been on the streets for a few years. Let me tell you, America's full of Pharisees.
Amen.
They all think they're saved. They all think they're okay. Just take a little trip down south here and just start talking. Everybody's a Christian, but they don't know they're going to heaven. Yesterday at that place, they don't even know if they're saved. They've been a Baptist in a church for 30 years and they don't even know if they're saved. Not sure you're going to heaven. Think about this. So they're all Pharisees. They're all okay. They're all Christian, right? What are they become? A stiff-hearted, impudent people. He said, I send thee unto them. You know, people have asked before, and it's interesting. People have asked, and it, again, it's very interesting, to say the least. But they wonder if the preaching would be different. Or people have said this before. You know, you know, they understand that preaching is hard. That I preach very hard on sin and very hard on things because I know who I'm preaching to. Like Paul Washer said, I'm not giving an endorsement on his ministry, but like Paul Washer said, he said, when I go over to Africa, I don't preach like that. When I go to other portions of the country, other portions of the world, I don't preach like that. Why? I don't have to.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of impudent and hard-hearted people here.
Right.
Stiff-hearted people in America. They've been saturated with a false gospel.
That's right.
And false living and fake, phony living.
Yeah.
And they've been inundated with it generation after generation. So what did he send? He sends a prophet. And I've seen God is raising up men like that that will just preach the truth. I don't mean, you don't gotta, you know, antagonize people or get foolishness or anything like that, but I've seen some people do. No, but the point is that you preach hard. You preach hard against sin, and you know what? Because they're stiff-hearted. And he said, I do send thee unto them.
All you gotta do is preach the truth.
All you gotta do is preach the truth. That's enough to make people mad.
Yeah.
And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God.
Amen.
Not your feelings, not your traditions, not the way you've always done it, not the way it's always been, but thus
Amen.
Saith the Lord God.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord God. You just tell them, thus saith the Lord God. You just show them what God says. Well, you give them what I want. And in verse number 5, he says, and they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house.
Yeah.
Yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. That's the one thing I want to be able to do when I draw my last breath here and I'm all finished, that they will know that God sent a prophet unto them, that they were warned. You won't be able to lay it at my feet that you weren't warned. You won't be able to lay it, and that's how all of us have to live our lives, that you will not be able to lay it at our feet that we did not warn you and say, thus saith the Lord, and warn you. These children, these young boys right here, these young boys that are growing up, these young girls, one thing you'll not be able to do is tell me, that preacher didn't warn me. He didn't tell me what was true. Listen, if you understand, if you wonder why I get so fiery and why I get, because I don't want it laid at my feet that they said when I'm dead in that grave, that I don't want it to be said that that preacher didn't warn me. I didn't know where he stood on something. In a day of wishy-washy, weak preaching, effeminate preaching, that nobody wants to offend anybody, that you were warned. I warned you.
Amen.
I warned you. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they've been warned.
Amen.
Well, they'll hear it. You say, you know what? You go out there and you street preach, and man, what good's it doing? I mean, how many conversions do you have? How many conversion stories do you have? How many people have you led to the Lord? Well, I tell people all of them.
Right.
I led them all there. Amen. Just like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
We lead them all there. We lead them all to the Lord. Thousands of them get led to the Lord. Now, what they do with them is up to them. Yeah, I can't control that. I'm not God. And you know what? Did you know that God didn't tell you just preach where you're welcome or just preach where they want? No, God said, no, I sent them unto you. I sent you unto them. I sent you over to them. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, I sent them to you. I sent you to them. Excuse me, I keep saying that backwards. I sent you to them. Thank you. I'll get it right in a second.
They're not all at your church, are they?
No, they're not all at the church. That's right. But I send you out to them. You go to them. You warn them. You go warn them. And some will hear. Whether they will hear. You know what? What's this say? Ezekiel, the results aren't up to you.
Amen.
That's right.
The results aren't up to you.
Amen.
Whether they will hear or whether... See, now, if you're a salesman... Okay, now I have a little bit of experience about sales, in sales, okay? I have a lot of experience, 20 years of experience in sales. If I wasn't pastoring right now, I could be a salesman like that easily, just no problem, and I could make $100,000 a year doing it. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you. I started when I was 19 years old, and I understand the sales business. Now, if you look at my preaching, it's the complete opposite of that.
Amen. Yep.
I'm not trying to sell you on anything.
Amen.
I'm not trying to coerce you. Listen, I know how to close deals. Man, I know how to close deals. I know that a customer can never argue with the answers they give to the questions you ask.
Yeah.
I know how to lock people into a sale. I know how to do all those things. But I don't do that. Why? Because this is biblical preaching, not salesmanship.
Amen.
And so you have to develop techniques and you have to develop all these other things when you're trying to sell people things. When you're trying to sell. But when you're preaching the Word of God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear.
Amen.
You know what liberty comes to a preacher when they are freed up to understand this?
Amen.
What liberty comes to you as a Christian if you're preaching the gospel, if you're living for God every day of your life, what liberty comes to that? Because whether they will hear or whether they will forbear.
Amen.
At least they'll know that a prophet was sent among them.
Amen.
They'll know.
Right.
They'll know they were warned.
Amen.
In verse number 6, he says, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them." See, here's the thing. We've got too many today in apostate America that are too afraid. Pastors are too afraid. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words. Oh, but they're gonna call me a legalist.
They might fire me.
They might fire me. When I was first sent out from a local New Testament church and I was ordained, I remember the pastor, the church was still under the leadership of the sending church because we weren't actually established or anything yet. But anyway, I remember him telling me that he was going to fire me if I bucked him or went against him in a certain area, that he was going to fire me. See, him and his wife were going to see this lady that they coined the witch, basically, the witch doctor or whatever, because she would like mess with your chakras and your auras, you know what I mean? She would do this and be like,
yeah,
you have a blockage right here. There's an energy block right here.
Yeah.
And I was like, you ain't touching my chakra. You leave my chakra alone. That's mine. I had one guy tell me on the street, he said, you know what your problem is? I said, no, what is it? He said, your aura's off, preacher. That's what your problem is. Your aura's off a little bit. You need some help with your aura. Leave my chakras and auras alone, buddy.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with them. They're doing just fine, whatever they are. But anyway, this preacher, he was like, oh, you're gonna be fired if you speak out against this or whatever. That didn't work, but it still hasn't worked to this day. But and thou, son of man, he said, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. This is the time we're in America right now, where we have a lot of preachers that are afraid. They're afraid of their words. They're afraid of their words. They're afraid of what they're going to say.
Yeah.
He said, a prophet's not afraid, though. They just go out and they do what God wants them to do. That's why we need some prophets, amen?
Amen.
We need some prophets.
Amen.
We need some men that'll go out. I'm not talking about extra biblical revelation. I'm not talking about adding to it. No, we got the book to preach, amen? We just need some prophets to go out and preach that book.
Amen.
And be fearless.
Amen.
And no nonsense. Listen, we ain't got time for any of that anymore. Do you understand? The hour is late. We do not have time to play games. I got people that get mad at me. They'll listen to some service. They can have something. Oh, why is he? I don't want to listen. One guy said, I don't want to listen to his indignation over what was it? Over the LGBT. Just teach what you're going to teach. Well, you know what? I can't just divorce that. I can't just be somebody different and get up here and be a lip-wristed little queer and preach to you like that. That's not me. I'm a prophet of God. I'm going to thunder it out to you. And if you don't like it, don't listen.
Amen.
It's as easy as that. Because you know what? I can promise you one thing. I will not lose that much sleep if you don't listen. Because God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they'll know.
Amen.
They'll know that a prophet was set among them.
Amen.
It says, be not afraid of them. I haven't got out of Ezekiel chapter 2 yet. I got all the way through Ezekiel to go, man. I'm going to be here all day. I'm never going to get home. All right.
I got to be home in the morning and record.
Okay, brother, I'll hurry. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. though briars and thorns be with thee. Ah, you know what? Anytime you want to do something for God, there's going to be some thorns.
Absolutely.
There's going to be some thorns and some briars going to stick you.
Amen.
Anytime you want to, you never get out of this life. You'll never get out of this life serving God without some briars and some thorns that stick
every
you.
Time.
There's some things you're going to have to suffer for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You know? And especially, I think about this, I think it's like it's a barren land here. You're in like a barren spiritual land. And it's not just you, it's everywhere. I mean, it's Atlanta, it's everywhere. Everywhere I go and preach, I feel bad for people because they don't have what we have there.
Nope.
And that doesn't, I didn't do it, God did it. God did His work there. But my desire is for people to have that everywhere. But there's going to be some briars and some thorns. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Do you understand that? And thou dwellest among scorpions. He says, and thou dost dwell among scorpions.
That is so true.
Yep. Bunch of scorpions. That's where you're at. That's where I send you. I know you want it to be pretty and nice and neat. Man, you just want it to be like where people are just ready to receive your message and everybody wants to hear it. And hey, if you're, chances are a lot of times in other countries, they are. These people are impoverished. They're broken. They're poor. They have nothing. They're humble. You give them a Bible and they read it. They get saved. They're excited. But we dwell in the midst of scorpions.
Yep.
That's what we dwell with. They're not hurting for anything.
Amen.
They got everything they need. They're like Sodom. Right? Pride and fullness of bread. We eat like kings.
Yep.
And we're ungrateful people.
Yep.
Amen.
We're ungrateful people and we eat like kings.
Yep.
We live better than people do in countries. Everywhere across the world. And that's why it behooves us to do more. It's incumbent upon us that we do more.
Amen.
Because we have the resources to do it. God's blessed us with them. He said, thou dost dwell among scorpions. They sting, scorpions do, don't they? These people sting.
Yeah.
They'll sting you.
Yeah.
I see it on Facebook. Listen, you know what? We got to stop devouring each other.
Amen.
We really don't have time for that.
That's right, preacher.
We got to be careful. Yeah, we're going to have some minor differences. You may not like the way I street preach. You may not like the way I say certain things. But you know what? We got to be careful about devouring each other.
Amen.
There ain't very many of us left.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And you know what's going to happen if we don't stop? God's going to send that strong persecution to us.
Yeah.
And then we're going to need each other again.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to realize how much we need each other.
Right.
It's one thing I'm preaching at Old Paths. You know what? You're all you got. You better knock it off.
Yeah.
You better love one another.
Amen.
You better love each
Amen.
Other. Because you're all the world hates you. You better love each other. Don't you dare devour each other. You got to love each other because we're all we have.
Yeah. Amen.
That's it. You better start loving each other. That's right. You're going to have your mom and dad, brother, sister, cousin. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be there. They're going to hate you for the gospel's sake.
Amen.
Because you dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Oh. When you're out there preaching, do you really think this technique works? Especially women, they walk up to you and they go like this. What? I'm just so sad. Why are you sad? I'm just so sad because there's no love here. There's no love. Where's the love? And then you biblically show them what the love of God is and you prove them. They're like, all you talk about is hell and judgment. 5 minutes later. 5 minutes later. Well, you're going to hell. You blankety blank blank. I thought you didn't believe in hell. Well, I do for you, loser. Right? Right? Yep, there you go. Yep. That's it. Right there. So I'm not dismayed at their looks. Man, I used to have people look at me when I preach. It don't happen very much at all now at church. But man, they used to look at me. Oh, some women would give me some dirty looks, man. When I was preaching my feminism series back 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh boy.
Woo! I mean, I'm telling you what, I got some looks, boy. I would be like, you might. I was like, if you don't like that, you might just be a feminist. They'd look at me, someone would look at me like, uh-oh.
Daggers.
It didn't shake me too much, so I just kept going.
Amen.
Why? Because I can't be... God said not to be dismayed at their looks.
Amen.
Oh, what, you thought you was going to preach something that God wanted you to preach and everybody's going to love you and nobody's going to be upset?
Come on.
You didn't think you were going to get any dirty looks from people? You thought you was going to go lift up the Word of God in the open air and preach the Word of God to lost sinners who love their sin, who love their wickedness, and who hate the God of the Bible and rebel against Him every day, but claim to be saved? You want to talk about some dirty looks. The sermon I'm preaching when I get back. I'm preaching a sermon called Christmas. The Image of Jealousy. From Ezekiel chapter 8.
Amen.
Now our church will be fine with it. But some other folks are not going to like it. Their family members are going to hate it. Their family members love to hate me. They love to hate me. Well, I just don't like the way he says it. Well, maybe I should say it like you, but then I thought, well, maybe you should get called by God, ordained, sent out, start a church, and you preach it the way God wants you to preach.
Amen.
But until then, shut up and leave me alone.
Amen.
Because as long as I'm not preaching something that's heresy, as long as it's wrong, and you don't like the delivery, hey, guess what? He said they didn't like Ezekiel's delivery either. They didn't like that straightforward preaching. You should be kinder, nicer. I'm trying to be. If you wouldn't be so rebellious, I probably could be.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd love to be like the missionaries and go over there and sing do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do and do all that fun stuff over there overseas. I'd love to be that way. I'd love to sing all the songs and be like, woo-hoo, and wave my hands and do all that fun stuff. I'd love to, but there ain't no time for that. America's going to hell.
Amen.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
I'd love to do all that. Believe me. You think it's fun to be the guy that always goes out and has to tell people they're dying and going to hell, their sin, they're trapped in their sin and they love their sin? No, that's not fun to do. I'd love to be able to do something different. I'd love it. But what did he say? Nor be dismayed at their looks. Well, I know Ezekiel, Ezekiel must have been preaching real nice and everything, and I don't know why they'd be dismayed at his looks. Maybe he needed to change his technique a little bit. Maybe he should be a little bit more like everybody else. Maybe I should be more like the limp-wristed preachers that are out there right now in America that are completely filling the pulpits today in America. They're so professional, they couldn't say anything that was a little bit direct because we wouldn't want to offend anybody. Then we would lose them before we could reach them. Well, let me help you. You don't got them.
Amen.
They got you.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're being a hireling. You need to repent.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them. Got to preach the Bible, amen?
Amen.
Got to preach the truth. Got to call out sin. Got to preach the Word of God. He said, thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. He says it again over again. He said, you know what? You speak my words unto them, and whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Speak it anyway. They're rebellious. What was he warning you? Hey, preacher, they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it. I hate to break it to you, but they're not going to like it.
Nope.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. As soon as you get out of Bible school or as soon as you get ordained, the first thing you think, man, this room is going to be full of people.
Yeah.
They're going to love me.
Yes.
They're not going to know what they're going to think. Finally. A man of God has come to this town and they're going to embrace me. I'll be Northfield's favorite son. The favorite one to hate. That's what it ended up being, right? I mean, even the religious people, even some of the saved people, man, they didn't know what was coming.
The more of us move in, the more they're going to love you.
They're going to love us even more the more people come. That's right.
A bunch of them coming.
But he said, look what he says here in verse number 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. What do we have today? Bunch of rebellious preachers.
Yep, true.
A bunch of rebellious preachers that are too scared of losing their money, losing their salary, losing their way. They're worried about losing everything. Their buildings, their bodies, their bucks in their buildings. Their influence and not being invited to the next meeting. I don't like being invited. I can't go to those meetings anyway. I can't handle that. I can't handle all that hippity hype stuff. I can't. It just reminds you of an Amway meeting. I can't deal with their, hi God! And they're all screaming up there. And what'd somebody say? Somebody said, pass the popcorn. That's what they just get. So, they're so excited. They're like screaming their heads off, right?
Yeah.
It's like, why are you so excited? I mean, did somebody get right with God? Did somebody lay down some sin? Did somebody burn their movies? Did somebody burn their pornography? Did somebody repent and get saved and get right with God? No, they just sing a song. Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I'm not against singing songs. I'm just saying that's the emotionalism that are in pulpits today. And that's pretty much all it is. It's not preaching against sin or wickedness or anything like that. It's all hype.
Yeah.
Is that the chickens? Did I just hear the rooster?
The rooster.
I just heard the rooster. We should play Brandon. We should play that song. The rooster. What's that song?
Come down to the farm.
Come on down to the farm. We should play that right now. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. Oh, I got to play it for you. We're done here. All right. Anyway, he says here to me. He says, "But thou son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." You know, he's talking, what is he talking about? He's talking about his spirit. He's talking about, hey, take in this truth, eat it up, and give it back out to people. Give it back out with people and preach the Word of God to them. And preach what I say to preach. Not what everybody else thinks you should preach. Not the way everybody else thinks you should preach. Not exact, don't be a clone of them, you know what I mean? But you preach what I told you to preach. And when I looked, behold, a hand was set unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Well, that we don't want to preach that today, do we? You know, nobody wants to be warned today, do they? They don't want to be warned what's coming.
Right.
They don't want to be warned what's... Don't preach lamentations. Listen, folks, it's not the time to... It's the time to mourn. It's the time to weep. It's the time for lamentations. It is the time of woe.
Yeah.
It is the time, and it's the time to preach that right now. Why? Because Jesus is coming to, yeah. Jesus is coming back again. That's why.
Yeah.
And there is tribulation coming upon this earth.
Right.
Such as has never been known.
Yeah.
It's coming, folks. We got judgment coming here. When you see the wicked things this country has done and the churches are involved in and they're in bed with the state and everything else, you see that beast system forming right in front of your eyes. You better preach some lamentations. You better preach some woe. You better preach some mourning. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it and was it in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Again, he tells them, here's the roll, go eat it and speak unto the house of Israel. Take my words, take my book, and go and eat it and preach the word of God to them. Warn them. He says here, look at what he says here. He says, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel.
Yeah. Your people.
Your people.
Yeah.
I didn't send you to Africa.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't send you to Istanbul. I didn't send you to Japan. I didn't send you to these third world countries. No, I've sent you right to your people.
Amen.
And that's what I know, that God has raised me up as a preacher, a prophet, to preach to America.
Amen.
To preach to this nation.
Yeah.
For them to understand, for the house of God, for the people that are to be saved, to be the remnant that's supposed to be there, that we are preparing a remnant for God.
Amen.
And preach to them.
Amen.
And they're not going to have any, they know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
He said, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, look at this. Verse number 6. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. People look overseas and they compare and they look at America and they understand. Hey, I want to tell you what, the hardest battlefield in this world today is to American churches.
Sure. Yeah.
It is the premier battlefield.
Yeah.
It is the premier. Yeah, people are losing their head overseas and they're suffering for Jesus more so than we are. But just in the sense of the message, America is the battlefield today.
Yeah.
If you lose the churches in America, you're going to lose the world.
Yeah.
That's right.
Man. Now, there'll be a remnant everywhere. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
Amen.
But when you lose the liberty that we have to do what we're doing today, it won't go well. Why? How much money is given overseas? How much money? How much time? How many churches are sending people over? How many missionaries? How many pastors, preachers, and churches planted? Everything else. Millions. what's going to happen when you when that drops off? And it is dropping off, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's dropping off hand over fist.
Yeah.
What's happening? We're losing. Now, God will raise up some other area like he did in history. If you study what I'm doing with the Baptist Battle for Liberty, you'll see that God raised up people everywhere. God raised up little nations that would be where Baptists could be free for 150 years. Go back and listen to those Baptist Battle for Liberty if you haven't listened to those yet. You'll find out that God raised up nations that were there, and they were free. They had religious liberty, and they didn't persecute them. And then the Roman Catholic Church found out about it. And they came and they killed everybody. They got the king to turn to kill them and to revoke any religious liberty that they had at all.
Yeah.
But he says here, but thou art not sent to a people of strange speech or hard language. He said they would have hearkened unto thee. What did Jesus say to Israel? He said, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment. Because
yeah.
They repented. Yeah. You won't repent. If this preaching was done in Sodom, they would have repented. How much is the mercy of God today in America that this message has been given and they will not repent?
Right.
They will not give up their fornication. They will not give up their sorcery, their pharmakia. They will not give it up. Pharmaceutica. They will not give it up.
Amen.
He said, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. Man, Ezekiel, you sound like you're fighting a losing battle. You know, that's the way people try. You know, you're going out there and you're preaching to all these people. And it's like, I mean, what are you really doing? It's like a losing battle. They're not listening. Doesn't matter. The Bible says whether they will hear or whether they will forbear.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference whether they'll listen or not. That doesn't have anything to do with me.
Amen.
I need to go and I need to preach, and it's up to them whether they will hear or whether they'll forbear.
Yep.
He said, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces. See, and that's what I want to talk to you about here too. You need to be strong.
Yes.
Because it gets weary in the battle. But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. Amen. There's going to be a time of reaping.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's going to be a time of reaping. And you can't be weary in well-doing. You've got to keep going. You've got to stay encouraged in the Lord. Like David encouraged himself in the Lord, the Bible says. You've got to keep going. You cannot be weary in well-doing.
Amen.
You can't be. You've got to keep going. Because God says, I've made thy face strong against their faces. So you wonder, well, how do you keep preaching to these people that hate what you're saying? Even in churches, especially. Not even on the street, but in churches. Just people that hear it, they used to get really upset. They used to get angry. I don't get as much hate mail as I used to. I don't know. I get a lot more good mail now than I used to get a lot more hate mail, brother.
They gave up on you.
They must have gave up on me. They weren't going to change me, so they give up on me. I love how everybody's trying to tell me how to do it, though. I love it. I love it. The emails that come in. You know, if you just stop doing it this way and do it this way, what are you worried about me for? Go worry about yourself. See to thine own house.
Amen.
You can warn like I do, but I don't go calling everybody's name out, every preacher out there. I don't send them emails. Right. I don't go send them emails and be like, hey, you need to fix this in your ministry, preacher so-and-so. I don't do that. I just preach.
Amen. Like I did, used to show me how to do it. You know?
Yeah, they never show you how to do it.
They never will.
No.
But they'll tell you.
He said for us, he said, though, but behold, I have made thy face strong against their face. That's why, hey, you know what? Northfield, man, what in the world did you get sent to Northfield for? Those people, they're not good. I mean, somebody told me one time when I was first visiting, he said, you know, I think the pastor should have sent you to St. Paul. Because, you know, they should have sent to Minneapolis. The other preacher they should have sent to Northfield because he has a degree and, you know, he's a lot smarter. Better educated. It would have made more sense for him to go there than it would be for you to go there. Maybe you should have went to Minneapolis. I don't know. All I know is I don't think most of those educated men would have made it there.
No.
I don't think they would have stuck around there. I don't think they would have stuck. Why? Because what is so unique about it is not anything that I've done, but what God has done. He said, I've made thy face strong against their faces. And thy forehead strong against their foreheads. It's like some lady said to me, she got up there and she was like, she was like, we're out preaching in the Northfield Square. We went through all those battles, Brother Finney, and you had to write them and talk to them, and we did all this, the legal stuff that we had to do when they didn't want us preaching. And the lady said, you know, well, we're gonna see what we can do about it. I said, lady, you can do whatever, you can try whatever you want. If you want, you can go, you know, we're gonna go to the council. Not the council, don't go there.
They did.
They tried, and then the lady devised a plan, and we just kept going and kept preaching. Hey, I want that lady to be saved. Amen. I don't hate her. I want her to be saved. Kren Fingers, her name. She needs to be saved. You know?
They gave us their whole plan
in the newspaper. They just laid it out for us. Like, you couldn't get any easier than this, could you?
Right there it is, Judge. Right there.
The lady looks at me and she goes, I've decided to rent the square out. Oh, how long? From now on, forever. And we're renting it out to keep you out of it so you can't come here.
See?
I was like, well, listen, I mean, that wasn't very smart, first of all. But I said, well, we're going there. And I took a crew of guys down there. I said, oh, we're going there. And we're going right in the middle of whatever you're doing there because you're doing this on purpose to stop us. I wouldn't have interrupt your event or do anything to hurt your event at all if you wouldn't have done what you just did. But we're going right in the heart of that square and we'll fight it out in court then, but I ain't leaving.
Amen.
I told them I ain't leaving. And they signed this order and gave her the right to be able to rent it out for eternity. And,
really?
Oh yeah. And then I got there and the cop showed up. I said, well, you know this is illegal, right? Then you're going to be sued for this. He goes, no, we're not going to be sued for it. He said, the only way we'd be sued for it is if we enforced it. We ain't enforced it. He said, there ain't no way. What is that? God made our foreheads harder than their foreheads. Really? You think that's going to stop me?
That's not intelligence either.
Yeah. Yeah, you think it's going to stop me? I'm just going to give up? I'm going to stop preaching in the open air because you don't like it? Or somebody walks up to you and goes like this. This is the best one. You're standing there preaching, they walk up to you and they go, science. I'm melting! Oh no, you said science! What am I gonna do now? I just have no reason to keep preaching now. I must give up and become an atheist because you said the word science. And we all know the Bible doesn't have anything to say about science. How ridiculous. Yeah. I had one guy walk up to me the other day, a couple weeks ago, he said, applied biology. I looked at him and I said, oh, you mean like Darwin's natural selection? You mean that kind of applied biology? You mean like what Hitler said when Hitler said that all the Nazis were doing was nothing more than applied biology?
Yeah.
You mean that one? Come on, big boy, keep coming with it. Let's hear it. Let's talk about it. I couldn't say all that I wanted to. I just got to say a little bit to him, but then he left. He just lost interest. As soon as I said, you mean, I said, like natural selection? Like that? Like what Hitler did? Something like that. He just walked away and didn't listen to me. See, they think they're going to stop you, or they make things hard for you, or they try to kick you out, or they try to get, they call the police on you all the time. And that's going to stop you. But God said, no, I've given you a forehead harder than their forehead. But you should go where people want to hear you. You mean like Ezekiel did? Because all the religious people want to hear him. What did he say here? He says, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. He said, I'm going to make your head harder than them. And folks, you've got to have a tender heart, but you got to have a tough hide. Amen. You got to have a hard forehead to go through some of the things too. All right? Don't be hard-hearted, but endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's one thing you have to, and that's what the principle that he's saying here in this, he's made you adamant harder, right, than flint. Why? Because you need it. And the Bible says in Ephesians, Timothy, he tells us, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life.
Amen.
You gotta be hard. You gotta have a hard head.
Yep.
You know, you gotta be able to get through it. You gotta be stubborn in some things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Stubbornness in sin, in a sinful way, is bad, but stubbornness for good things is right.
Amen.
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 That's right. He says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear them with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity and of the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear." Well, you see, go to the people of the captivity. Man, you got some people that are in captivity today.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true. You got some people that, man, they are stuck in bondage.
Yeah.
They are stuck. All these people that claim to be saved, and they're stuck in drunkenness, they're stuck in fornication, they're stuck in false doctrine and heresy. They're absolutely stuck in these things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're stuck in them. They are in captivity. The devil has them. And there's nobody that's more stuck, or that's stuck more than a religious Pharisee. One that has never been saved, never had their sins forgiven. Christ's blood hasn't washed them free of their sins. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You go to them that are in captivity." And that's America, folks. That's the churches in America. That is the religious people in America today. I know that because when these sermons go out and the Lord does His work through them, I get feedback from people that say, "You know what? I just got a brother. You read that testimony. A brother got a hold of me. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. He's a Hebrew roots guy. He said he's been stuck in that for 3 years. And he said he started listening to me like a year ago. And he listened to all the preaching. And he listened to all the preaching on the Sabbath and on the Hebrew roots on the Sabbath and the law, keeping the law. And he said, finally, he said, I know I don't have to keep the Sabbath any longer. I understand that from the Scriptures. Because first of all, you can't keep it.
Amen.
You can't. They didn't even keep it.
Yeah.
If the old law was good, then what covenant you're under? Right? Are you under the old one or the new one? Right?
Yeah.
Where are you at? Who are you talking to? Right?
Yeah.
Are you under the law or under grace?
Amen.
Who fulfilled it? Christ?
Yeah.
Or you?
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm a New Testament Bible believer.
Amen.
In the local New Testament church, a member of His church. Amen. I'm not part of. A member of the house of God, the family of God in heaven and earth.
Amen.
Amen.
No, Christ paid that. That doesn't mean we live a lascivious life. We're not antinomian.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We understand that.
Amen.
But we know that those are types and shadows, and Christ is the substance.
Yeah.
If you're looking for types and shadows, you're in the wrong time.
Yeah,
right. Amen.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong time, friend. And go get thee to them of the captivity of the children of thy people, and speak of them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heart of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me.
Amen.
Amen. But the hand of the Lord, God said He lifted him up by the Spirit of God, and the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. We need some men like that today. Amen. The hand of the Lord is strong upon them. And we see that. We're seeing God raise up men that are like that, that His hand is on them, and they are gonna do what God wants them to do. Amen. Listen to what He says here, though. These same prophets are also watchmen. Right? Ooh, I'm already an hour, I'm 52 minutes into this thing. I'm going to keep going, though.
Amen.
All right. He said, Son of man, verse number 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. You got to hear it. Listen. He says, hear it first. You are a watchman. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning. Listen, God made us watchmen.
Amen.
And there are some men that understand that. They understand what God has called. Listen, this ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church is a very unique ministry in and of itself. And the reason I say that is because you have men from all, you have the most uneducated man being me, surrounded by many educated men. Right?
You're an educated bastard.
Well, I know, but
self-educated,
right? It's not the same as
good,
right. But you have church state law ministries, right? What is that? It's like a prophet's warning out there. It is a cry out there. Listen, Turn back. Get out of what you're into. You're going the wrong way. Yeah. It's going to this. Your church is yoked up to the state. They're coming to control it. They're coming to lay the grip down. And what is that? It's a prophet's warning. This whole ministry is like a prophet's warning.
Amen.
It is a warning. No, you're going the wrong way. You don't know what you're doing. You have compromised your position. You have offended your Lord. Yeah. You've accepted another authority over you.
Yeah.
Turn now. Turn away from it. Repent. Get right before you're consumed by the beast.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a warning. It's a ministry of warning.
Yeah.
It's like the street preaching. It's a watchman's ministry.
Yeah.
What did he say? He said, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." You know, to whom much is given, much shall be required.
True.
We have a duty to warn.
Amen.
We have a duty to warn them. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. In verse number 20 says, "Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand." That's the righteous versus the wicked. "Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and shall say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house." Now I want you to skip down to Ezekiel chapter 11, please. Pretty plain, the watchman. We want to be free from the blood of all men, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. We can't say that, can we?
Yeah.
And I can't say that like the Apostle Paul said that.
Mm-hmm.
I am free from the blood of all men.
Amen.
And I can't say that.
Amazing.
I can't say that, brother.
No. He's a good example.
Yes, he is. "And it came to pass," actually, Ezekiel chapter 11, "yes, moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which look at the eastward, and behold, the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jazaniah the son of Azar, and Pelatiah the son of Benaiah, princes of the people." I put that in there. Hang on a second. I put that in my notes. "Oh, then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city." You know, God sent a prophet. He said, "Hey, listen, you're going to be able to see and discern this." Why? Why can you discern this? Because you've opened your mouth and you've received the Word of God. So God says, "I will give you that gift of discernment. And you will be able to look at these things and you will be able to discern what these people are into, what they're preaching today, and what they're doing." And he said to me, "Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, It is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron and we be the flesh." What did he say though? Listen, when you've taken in God's Word and you believe God's Word, you don't believe what man says, but you believe exactly what God says, that doesn't mean you don't listen to preaching. It just means that you weigh everything by this Word, and when God has called you, when He has filled you with His Spirit, and when He's given you His words, and you've taken them in, you've received them, and you're able to discern that which is right and that which is wrong. Amen? Or that which is right and almost right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Spurgeon said, that which is right and almost right.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Make sense? All right. "Then said the enemy, Son of man, these are the men that devise this mischief. Therefore prophesy against them," verse number 4. "Prophesy, O son of man." What's this telling me? You better preach against the apostasy. You better preach against America. American church is apostasy today. You better preach against it, because it's here, it's alive, and it's well. Just like he said to Israel. Israel's apostasy. You better preach against it, Ezekiel. "These are the men that devise mischief." Man, they're up to no good. That's right.
Right.
"And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me," verse number 5, "and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them." Boy, that's scary, isn't it? Now I said, I know the things that, the Spirit of the Lord said this, I know the things that come into your mind. Every single one of them. Hey man, we know God's watching.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
We know God's watching. He said, you have multiplied your slain in this city, and you have filled the streets thereof with the slain. What do we have in America today? I don't know, 4,400 abortions in a day?
Yeah.
Violence has filled the earth.
Yeah.
Absolute wickedness and violence filled the earth.
Fornication.
Fornication. Witchcraft. Sorcery. Lasciviousness. And that's just in the local Baptist church down the road.
Right.
That ain't even the pornography. That ain't even the world. We ain't got to the world yet. We're talking about American apostasy. We're talking about the church's apostasy. We're talking about churches. When I say America, I mean American churches. I don't mean the nation. I'm talking about God's people.
Yeah.
Those that claim to be saved, at least.
Right.
Those that say they're the house of the Lord. I know America, all the nations are going to hell, okay?
Yeah.
We understand they're going to go down. We understand there's going to be one nation that God's going to use.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And we're not that nation.
No.
Amen. There's going to be 12 tribes called home.
Yeah.
And I don't care what replacement theologian doesn't like it. That's what's happening.
Amen.
Each tribe. He named the tribe.
Amen.
And the 12,000 from each tribe. So I don't know how you can get around that and say that ain't happening. Well, that's figurative. No, it's not figurative.
I got to hold all the verses and say just that.
Amen. Amen.
Listen.
That's right. It's a special kind of hate and a weird understanding is what it is. Every time I've ever seen somebody, I understand there's the Illuminati, the Jewish Illuminati, I understand that, and I also understand there's the Jesuits. But they don't talk about the Jesuits. They have this special hate for Jews.
Yes, it is.
And it gets really strange and weird. Hey, I know there are high level Illuminati Jews that run things, but there's somebody above them. It's called the Pope. You ought to look into it. It might help you understand that. But anyway, and yes, I'll go toe-to-toe with any of those guys to try to say the Illuminati. They run everything. When the last time I checked, there's only one man that can walk through any nation he wants to and have immunity completely and never be arrested.
Right. Yeah.
And he's a billionaire, a trillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And he owns his own city.
Yeah.
And the kings of the earth kiss his finger.
Yeah.
They kiss the slippered toe of the Pope.
Yeah.
All right. You have multiplied the slain in the city, and you have filled the streets there with the slain. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord.
Amen.
What do we have today? A lot of prophesying out of their own hearts. You got Joel Osteen and men like that seduce the Lord's servants to sin. I don't doubt that there's some saved people that like him, that don't understand, that they have little discernment. Baby Christians that have no discernment. There's probably a few that do that. I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying there's probably a few, though. They don't know anything. They just got saved, some of them. They just follow along. Oh, this guy's a Christian. I'll follow him. You don't have to follow him very long to figure out that he's a heretic and that he's an apostate.
Absolutely.
Amen? But the point is that they're teaching the seducing, that they're teaching and seducing the prophets of the Lord. He said, the people of the Lord, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets. That is, they prophesy out of their own hearts. What does Joel Osteen do? He gives you something from his heart.
Yeah.
And what is it? A motivational speech.
Yeah.
Other men are like that. There's Baptists that are like that too. This is bad. Close your Bibles. I just want to preach from my heart. What do you want to preach from that old dirty wicked thing for?
Amen.
That old dirty nasty thing. What do you want to preach from that for? He says, thus saith the Lord, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Well, we have a bunch of false prophets today. What are they doing? Following their own spirit. Following their own spirit. They're not following the word of God. They've devised all these techniques, these plans, these promotions, these other, none of that's in the Bible. You can't find any of that. I always ask people with fundamentalism and all their games, their gospel games that they play. I always ask them, do you really think the Apostle Paul would be like, okay, we're going to have a contest today. Here's our contest. Here's what we're going to do, okay? If you can get 1,000 people here, I'm going to walk on water today. I'm just going to do that for you. I'm going to walk on water. I'm going to swallow a goldfish today. If you get 1,000, when did the Apostle Paul ever do anything like that? He didn't. Where'd that come from? Out of their own heart.
Yep, that's right.
Well, did Jesus do that?
Yeah, Jesus didn't do that either. I can't imagine Jesus going, okay, watch this trick, guys. You're going to love it. If you get 1,000 people, if you get 5,000 more people here today, I'm going to walk on water for you. I'm going to do some great tricks for you.
Or the one that gets the most here.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, folks. That's prophesying out of your own heart. Or they prophesy things that aren't real in the Bible, that aren't true, that aren't applicable for us, that aren't even there. They're prophesying and preaching things that aren't even biblical. Like they get their faith promise giving and everything. Pick a number, any number. Wait a minute, is that a casino? Are we at a casino? Are you playing poker? What are you doing? You pick a card, any card. What are you doing? Imagine this number in your mind. Where'd you get that from? Don't do that. That's witchcraft.
Amen.
Imagine this number in your mind. And you just take this number and you pray about this number all week, and then you sign this pledge card and say you're going to give this amount of money. And then and if you don't have it, write the check out for it anyway.
See, the way we heard it every year, ask God for a number, and when he gives it to you, don't go, It ain't God.
Right. Every year. And if you get to start picking a number, any number, just pick it and then just do it. And then every week it's going to be that, and it's going to be there. And if your checking account, if you look at it and it's not there, write the check out anyway.
Yeah.
It'll be there.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like it's to meet your budget.
Yeah.
So you know what you can budget to give people? Well, last time I checked, preachers of the gospel are supposed to live by faith. That doesn't mean the churches don't give, because the Bible says the labor is worthy of his hire. The churches do gather money to take care of the preachers, amen, as they're preaching the Word of God. They should do that. But you know what? I don't have a guarantee, I'm going to make this. This is going to happen. No. Whatever comes in, whatever the Lord provides, that's what he provides. And if he says, take these two hands and go do something with them, I'll go do that too.
Amen.
Amen. I have no problem with that. That's what he gave to me for.
Amen.
What does he say, though? He says, woe to the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. What did they do? They prophesied out of their own hearts. A bunch of fools. They didn't make up the hedge. They didn't stand in the gap.
Yeah.
They're watching the whole nation of Israel go to hell and do nothing about it. And what do we have today? Pastors that are watching their churches and their church members go to hell, and they're doing nothing about it. They're not standing in the gap. They're not preaching against sin. They're not calling them to repentance. They're not doing any of those things.
Yep, that's right.
They're not standing in the gap. No. They're not. They're watching them go to hell. He said, have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken? Therefore thus saith the Lord. That reminds me of the prosperity pimps. But you know, Baptists got their prosperity pimps too. They got the faith promise stuff. They got their same prosperity pimps. They're still pimping money out of people like that. Hey, nothing wrong with people giving to a missionary, take care of a preacher, take care of anybody, take care of the poor. Nothing wrong with taking up offerings, do that kind of stuff. Nothing wrong with any of that. But when you try to use the world's tactics and the world's ways, you try to run your church like a business, like it's a corporation, like it's a, because it is a corporation, like you got to take care of the bottom dollar. It's not faith anymore.
Amen.
It's not faith. It's a business. What did he say? He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. What are we watching? We are watching today that the Lord's hand is moving against those churches.
Yeah.
We're seeing it. They're losing. Listen, churches are starting to sink in the nostrils of Americans today.
Yeah.
Why are they? Because of your Joel Osteens, your Benny Hinn's, your big corporations, your big $2 million buildings and everything else. Listen, churches today in America have turned into what? They have turned into the Roman Catholic Church. They got millions of dollars. They got big buildings. They got pedophiles in there. And what do? They just ship them off to somebody else.
Right.
Well, now, we can't have this preacher in America anymore, like Bob Gray was in Florida. So where do we send him to? We'll send him over to a third world country. He can molest those kids over there, not kids over here. Why do you think America? Why do you think churches in America are stinking? When people see their $3 million buildings, like, they're not paying any taxes on those buildings. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They have all this money. They have $8 million for the property. They don't pay any taxes.
Yeah.
I don't believe God ever meant for us to have $8 million buildings.
No, I don't either. Amen.
I don't think God ever meant for us. I don't care if you have 500 people. If you have 500 people, you need to start sending some people out.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen? You start sending some people out and start some churches in remote areas all over the country and the world.
Yep.
You don't need 500 people like that. Now, if God blesses you with 500, that's fine, but you better be sending out men.
Amen.
You better be sending them out. There's nothing wrong with having a big church. There's something wrong with having a corporate mentality in a big church.
Amen. Yep.
My hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. God says he's going to bring judgment upon them. He said they're a bunch of fakes and phonies. They're not even going to be there. God says, I'm going to separate them from my people. Verse number 10, because they have seduced my people. What do we have here today?
Yeah.
We're at ease in Zion. Verse number 10. 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse number 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace. And there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar.
Mm.
He said, they're adding upon this. They've seduced my people saying, hey, peace, everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, America, wave your flag.
You.
Say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
One nation under God and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Patriots, yeah. Run your flags through the church and have all these days that are dedicated to the government. Dedicated to Americans and in the house of God, to desecrate the house of God.
Yep.
Right?
Amen.
Do all of these things. You're pro-Americans, you wave your flag. What about Chinese? Are they allowed to do that? Can they wave the Chinese flag and be a patriot?
Mm-hmm.
What would you think of them if you were over there and they were waving the Chinese flag? How about some of the Middle Eastern ones? Would you be okay with that? Of course not. None of us should be doing it.
Amen.
We're not citizens of this
Amen.
World.
Amen.
Amen. Of this country. Not like that anyway. Not to put that worship above God or in the same category. But see, they're calling peace peace. There is no peace. There's no peace today when it comes to those things.
No.
Likewise, thou son of man, verse number 17, set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy out of their own heart. And prophesy thou against them. Boy, we got a lot of those people, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women prophets there today, huh?
Yeah.
Woe to the women. Woe to the women that sew pillows to all the armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? Will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? And that fits America today, doesn't it? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, whereas ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I, verse number 21, will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand, and be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad. What happened? God says he's going to destroy the woman's home too. He's going to destroy them. He's going to destroy them because of that. He's going to destroy who they are, who they're supposed to be. We see that in America. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad. Haven't you seen that today? If somebody's a bold preacher that stands against sin, man, somebody wants to make them sad.
Yeah.
They want to make the right... If you have a stand against in your home against something, man, you stand against wicked movies and Hollywood and rock music and the adultery, the fornication, the Christmas and all those holidays that are out there like that. If you stand against it, man, they make the heart of the righteous sad. Don't there's preachers around the country because they won't stand up to the truth. They make their own people have to leave their churches, and they're leaving their churches by the grove. Why are they leaving by? Why? Because they're nothing but a grove. That's why.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like if I'm gonna go, I don't want to be in the grove of Daphne. I don't need to be there. So people stand up. They ask the preacher about something. Oh no. Well, we understand. Well, can you show me in the Bible where Christmas is? No. Why? It's not there. It's not there, that's why.
Amen.
Except you go to Jeremiah and you see him dragging a tree out of the forest, right?
Yeah.
Decking it with gold and silver.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a Christmas tree. It doesn't say Christmas tree. Oh, okay, I see. So you could describe, you could do everything a heathen does, but you're not learning the way of the heathen.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So what do? Though they make the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthen the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. What do we have today? I'm going to pretty much stop here. I could go on and on and on. There's so much more. And I mean, I've got
till 10 o'clock tonight.
Do you? Well, I can finish it if you want me to finish it. I'll finish it. All right, I'll finish it then. All right, I'll finish it then. I'll go ahead and finish it. I got a few more verses here. Yep, I got to beat Nate. I might as well. I'm at an hour and 14 minutes right now, so I'm heading that way. I'm just getting warmed up. Therefore shall you see, he says here, because you have made the lies, because of lies, you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. But listen, the sad thing is, they also strengthen the hands of the wicked.
Yeah, right.
That he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. That's this promise that once prayed, always saved.
Yeah.
Right?
Repentance there.
Yeah, that's repentance there, that's right. Once prayed, always saved. That's what's being taught today.
Yeah.
Oh, you just said a prayer, so you're fine.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you're going on living in sin and wickedness and there's no change in your life. You can't preach that changed life gospel. You don't want to preach those things. You don't want to preach that changed life gospel or anything like that, where Jesus actually changes people when he saves them. No, I thought he just left them dead in trespasses and sins the same old way he found them. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are filled, old things are past, we build, all things are become new. They become new.
Amen.
But what happened? No, they make the righteous sad. Well, that's not you. When you tell them, hey, you're going on living in your sin and wickedness, you're not, that's not salvation. Where's the change? Where's the power of God in your life? Where's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. Why? Because you're not saved. But those preachers will tell them they're okay.
Yeah.
Why? They prayed the prayer. Right?
Yeah.
Well, why aren't you righteous then? Why is there no righteousness of Christ in you? Why is there no work of God in your soul? They strengthen the hands of the wicked.
Yeah.
That he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. They promise him life. You're fine. You prayed the prayer when you were 5 years old. Yeah, I'm saved. I prayed a prayer when I was 5 years old, but there's no work of God in my life. There's no power of God in my life. There's no change in my life. Listen, a man can be backslid. A man can get into trouble. He can get saved at 5 years old or 10 years old. I question 5 years old and 4 years old. I honestly do, okay? I haven't seen one in the Bible like that, all right? But you know what? I'm not God either, okay? So I don't know when he says, when a man understands that he's a sinner, and he understands that he's guilty of his sin, he has to repent. But you know what? I have somebody in our church that got saved when they were 9 years old, and they knew they were a sinner. And you know what? They backslid and they got into sin when they got older. But you know what? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. They were a prodigal called home, and they came home, and when their father, they said, I will get to my father's house, and they repented of their wickedness.
Amen.
And they got right with God, and they've been living a life for the Lord ever since. 15 years. Why? Because they were saved, and the goodness of God does lead thee to repentance. But when you tell wicked people, listen, saved people repent. Saved people repent.
Amen.
False converts and people that have never been born again, no, they're not going to repent. They're going to continue in sin and say, well, I'm saved. You know people I talk to on the street that are, this lady told me Madonna was saved. She was telling me how saved she was. She got on the ground and she was making fun of me. She got on the ground and she was like mocking me and making fun of me. And she was saying, I pray, see, dear Jesus, forgive me for going to this concert and doing all this. And she was mocking, right? Well, I told her there's no hope for you like that.
Amen.
There's no hope for you like that. I got in trouble though. Some preachers didn't like that and they talk about me in their sermons now because you told her there was no hope for her. Yeah, about 3 seconds later, maybe 30 seconds later, I said, there's no hope unless you repent.
Amen.
What are you going to say? What did I do? I slayed her with the law. So one preacher said, well, where do you see slaying them with the law at? So Nate pulls up the verses and preaches on it and shows them where it says that.
Amen.
Right? Go listen to criticism of street preaching. Listen, what are you going to do? The Bible says the principle that God will be with those that are humble and contrite. But God is against those that are proud. When you tell me that Madonna's saved, and you tell me that you're saved, and you're living in wicked sin, and you're laughing, you're smacking your behind, and doing all kinds of funny stuff, you know, doing all kinds of wicked, lascivious stuff out there, and you don't like this preaching, you don't like the preaching of God's Word, that tells me there's something wrong with you. And you're seared. Amen. Oh no, I said the prayer, I'm fine.
Yep.
Yep, go on live like that, you're gonna open your eyes up in hell one day. Because with lies, they made the heart of the righteous sad. And strengthen the hands of the wicked, they should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, and God is delivering people from the hands of these pastors that won't preach the word of God. We're seeing it all over the country. People are sitting there leaving churches because they don't want lies anymore. They're tired of being lied to. Ezekiel chapter 33, we'll turn there. And verse number 30. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. They're speaking against him, right? They're talking against thee. What's going to happen when you stand up for the truth? There's going to be some people that are whispering and backbiting and talking against you. Right?
Yeah.
They're going to do that. That's going to happen. You're going to have that. You're going to have that talking against you. You're going to have those things happen. Why? Because just like Ezekiel, if you stand for something, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be speaking against you. He said, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they came unto me. They came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Verse number 31, what happened? He said, well, they say they want to hear. What's America? God bless America. We love the Bible. When you go out there, we're Christians, but we just don't like the way you do it. We don't like what you say. And we're Christians, but you don't lose your salvation by going to a rock concert, or you don't know, you sure do show the evidence of where you're at, though.
Amen.
You don't lose your salvation for that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't believe you lose it. I don't think you have it, some of you.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them. I don't think you have it.
Amen.
You start asking them, what's changed in your life? Nothing. I can... Jesus doesn't hate the Grateful Dead. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they sit before thee as my people, right? And they hear the words, right? But they don't love it. And lo... And they come unto thee as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people. As my people. Look at this. They sit before me as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. With their mouth they show much love, but with their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Well, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Verse number 33, and when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. This judgment's coming, he said.
Yeah.
He said, this judgment's coming, and then they're going to understand. They're going to know when that comes. They're going to know that there's a prophet among them. They're going to know that. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of the shepherds, woe be the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Sounds like most American pastors in fundamentalism today. Very abusive. Very abusive. He said, preacher, you preach hard. You must be abusive like them. Really? Why don't you come to Old Paths and see if that's true? Why don't you talk to any of the 10 10, 12 men that are there, and you find out how abusive this pastor is. I preach hard, but I don't lead hard.
Amen.
And you can ask any one of them. I'm as approachable as you can get.
Amen.
You just got to talk to me, that's all.
That's right. Amen. But you can't talk to most pastors.
But you can't talk to most pastors, and that's true. You have a conversation with them, they get very offensive, they get angry, and they blow up at you, and then it's over.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. But what happens? He says, with cruelty and with force have you ruled them. You haven't healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. That's right, that's where Christ comes in. But these shepherds, that you know, they're the people that have been hurt. There's people all over the country right now that have been hurt. They've been hurt by pastors that have, they've stood for the, these people have tried to stand for what's right, and they've been pummeled for it. Man, they've been sheared for it. The sheep have been sheared because they tried to stand up for the truth.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't living in sin. They were trying to stand up for the truth. And they were sheared. It says, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And this is where it comes in, friend. We need local churches
Amen.
Everywhere.
Amen.
We need a church right here. We need families to gather together
Amen.
Weekly, to start gathering together, even for a Bible study, even to listen to preaching together, to fellowship. You need each other.
Amen.
You need each other. You need to be gathered together so the Lord can, because the Lord wants to do a work here.
Amen.
Amen. He wants to work in everybody's life. I don't know. I can't say 100% the Lord's going to start a church here. I don't know that.
Amen.
What I can say is that the Lord wants His people in churches.
Amen.
Right.
He wants them to be gathered together. He wants them to put aside the flesh and commit one to another and unto Him.
Amen.
Because, listen, sheep, I don't know if you realize this, but sheep don't do well by themselves.
Nope.
No.
Sheep that are scattered, they get killed.
Yeah.
They get slain.
Yeah.
Sheep are meant to be in a flock.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And right now there needs to be a flock here.
Amen.
So you're going to have to decide whether you're going to do that or not. But you know what? You have to trust the Lord through it. But you have to be faithful. You have to commit to the Lord.
Amen.
And you have to submit and say, you know what? We need a church here. We need one here. We need to do something here. We need to see God work here. And if God will, then He will. If He doesn't, He doesn't.
Amen.
But you know what? It shouldn't be without the effort of the saints of God that are in this area.
Amen.
It says here in verse number 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. You know, part of the time we go preaching on the streets, we go there because there are saved people out there too that they need to be called to repentance.
That's
and called
right.
back home.
Amen.
They need to get right with
Amen.
God. They need to be called back.
Amen.
So we go out there to preach. Well, I want to gather His flock. There's some out there. Amen. They need to hear the truth and repent and get into churches and serve the Lord. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and that they may not be meat for them. You know what? They are making merchandise today of the people of God. They need to wake up. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered. Look at this. In the cloudy and dark day. Right? God said, I will do that. And God will use His people to do that. What is He using here? He's using the prophet. He's using the prophet to call them home. To call my wandering sheep home. Amen. To call them to flocks that they can worship the Lord and they can do something for God. And all I can tell you is stand having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness,
Amen.
And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace,
Amen.
And the sword of the Spirit, taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know what? Have a face harder than their faces,
Amen.
And trust the Lord, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. We got to have our armor on.
Because
God is going to put you where He wants you.
Yeah.
Wherever that is.
Amen.
It might be Northfield. It might be here.
Amen.
Amen. But God is going to call you where He wants you. He's going to use His prophets. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to when it's preached. Listen to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And let God do the work inside of you.
Amen.
God wants His people flocked together in churches. Amen.
Amen.
That's what He wants. That's what His will is.
Amen.
We just need to pray for the power of God to see that happen. Father, Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your words. Thank You for the truth of it. Dear God, help us in these end times to stand, having done all to stand. Thank You, Jesus, for all You do for us. Thank You for Your mercy, Your love, Your care, Your support for us, Lord.
Amen.
You're the great shepherd that gave His life for the sheep. And Lord, may we give our lives in the cause of Christ. Maybe not to die, but to live for You every day. And if needs be, to die.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this guy said on Facebook.